Crossing the Abyss, Part 1. How to cross the abyss and what to expect. Brought to you by Alan.
This podcast is about crossing the abyss. It is not about going through a period of depression. It is not about losing your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your job, your car, your dog. It is not about any idea of Chapel Perilous. It is about a specific attainment within a developmental framework known as the Western Hermetic Kabbalistic Tradition. For a long time now, any idea of magical development or attainment has been dismissed usually on the lines of antinomianism, which, if the evidence is anything to go by, seems to be nothing more than an excuse for mediocrity. There is much more to magic than simply wanking over sigils, and hopefully this podcast will be testament to the fact that there is such a thing as genuine magical attainment, specifically within the Western tradition. Now, the actual existence of the abyss has often been disputed on the grounds that it doesn't feature within other developmental models offered by the likes of Buddhism or yoga. And it's also true that you can practice magic for 30 years and never encounter a phenomenon which even approaches any description of the abyss. And there's one good reason for both of these things, and that is the abyss is specific to the developmental model of Western Hermeticism. You will not find the abyss in Buddhism. The abyss is not part of the Buddhist metaphysic. You will not find it in Tantra because it's not part of the Tantric developmental model. In other words, if you want to encounter the abyss, you need to work within the Western tradition. This doesn't mean that there aren't similarities between different developmental models. As a matter of fact, in my experience, I think they're all describing the same process. And it is true that there are equivalent attainments within the various systems. However, the question shouldn't be, does the abyss exist or not? It should be, is the Western Hermetic Kabbalistic model applicable to my experience? Now, the abyss itself is part of an entire map of the universe known as the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Now, the Tree of Life is made up of 10 ideas, or sephira, and anything that can be experienced can be attributed to one of these ideas. Now, these 10 ideas are further subdivided into 5 parts, which make up the complete human being. We have the Ruach, which is the animal soul or the body. We have Nefesh, which is the intellectual and emotional aspects of man. We then have Neshama, which is the faculty of understanding. We have Chaya, which is the will, and Yechida, which is the unique viewpoint of every individual. Now those last three, the will, the understanding, and the viewpoint, are separated from the mind, body, and emotions by what is known as the veil of the abyss. Within the abyss is the 11th sephira, or the false sephira, known as Darth. And Darth is knowledge. Now, why Darth should be a false idea is a great mystery, and the understanding of that mystery constitutes the crossing of the abyss. So what's the point of crossing the abyss? Well, the story goes that God manifested into matter all the way from idea number 1, which is Kether, the crown, down through all the other ideas until it got to number 10, which is Malkuth, the kingdom or the physical world. Now, once the Godhead got to the physical world, there's nowhere else left to go apart from back up the Tree of Life again. So in other words, existence or reality is the Godhead realizing itself. As such, crossing the abyss isn't simply a matter of deciding to work with the model, but rather an essential part of the development of every living thing. In other words, we could say crossing the abyss is the act of changing a human into God. So how do we go about crossing the abyss? Well, within the Western Hermetic tradition, we have what's known as the Holy Guardian Angel. Now, the Holy Guardian Angel on the Tree of Life is idea number 6. It is the idea around which all the other emotional and intellectual aspects of man revolve. In other words, every man, woman, and child on the planet has a Holy Guardian Angel. Now, if we consider the veil of the abyss as the edge of a mirror, we can see that idea number 6, or Tifereth, is a reflection of idea number 1, or Kether. In other words, the Holy Guardian Angel is a dualistic expression of the non-dual, or that which is above the abyss. The aim of the game within the Western tradition, or the great work as it's often referred to, is gaining the knowledge and conversation of the Holy Guardian Angel. Now, traditionally, this operation is notoriously difficult to perform, as outlined in texts such as the Sacred Magic of Abimelin the Mage, or Liber Samek by Aleister Crowley. Within these operations, we are told to retire for 6 months and put ourselves in a state of desire for the outcome of the operation. Now, this flies in the face of all my magical experience. If we consider desire the qualification of the fact we don't have what we want, and as a magician, you're responsible for every experience you have, we could say by putting yourself in a state of desire for the outcome of an operation is an act of magic against the self. This is borne out by the fact that I had success in gaining the knowledge and conversation of my Holy Guardian Angel within 3 workings, and Duncan managed to do it within 1 working, and this was by simply removing the desire element. In terms of actual practice, I simply entered a meditative state, visualized a representation of my angel, which was a sigil, and then asked it to contact me. Now, in terms of working within the Western Hermetic Kabbalistic tradition, you don't need to memorize all the associations on the Tree of Life. In fact, you don't need to know anything about the Tree of Life. All you need to do is gain the knowledge and conversation of your Holy Guardian Angel. You will then find that the Holy Guardian Angel will guide you in what is necessary in order for you to progress within that developmental framework. This now brings us to the question, how do we know when we're in the abyss? Or how do we even know when we're over it? When I began working with my Holy Guardian Angel, I didn't approach it with a view to crossing the abyss or even working within the Kabbalistic map. I saw it simply as an invocation of the future magical self or as a means of improving my magical ability. I first became aware of the fact that I was undergoing the process that was leading up to crossing the abyss when, after the spectacular results obtained from the operation when I gained the knowledge and conversation of my Holy Guardian Angel, I discovered that I couldn't repeat those results no matter how hard I tried. It was as if the angel had withdrawn. It was at this point that reading Alan Moore's Promethea, I came upon a passage that said that even your Holy Guardian Angel must abandon you whilst you're crossing the abyss. Now, needless to say, this was interesting, and it certainly wasn't something that I expected. It soon became apparent that there would be further signposts along the way, which would let me know where I was up to in terms of this process. So next up came the encounter with the double, or signpost 2. Now, although I've not seen any literature that actually references the double in terms of the Kabbalistic developmental model, I'm including it because both myself and Duncan have had a similar experience whilst we're both working within that model, and I've also seen it referenced in Austin Osman Spare's work The Focus of Life and William Blake's poem The Spectre. Now, the encounter with the double is a surefire sign that you are going mental, but in a good way. My encounter with the double happened on the bus on the way to work one day when I discovered I was experiencing a certain amount of anxiety, and upon wondering what this anxiety was, it actually answered me and told me that it wanted to know why it existed. I was actually having a conversation with myself, which is quite strange to say the least. Anyway, after I'd reassured myself, or the double, that it was actually an indestructible metaphor, I never had another encounter with the double. And similarly with Duncan, he was meditating one day when suddenly he encountered what he calls the root of his being. I consider to be the same thing. Now, I've called signpost number 3 affirmation, but this might be woefully inaccurate, but as I've only got a limited amount of experience to go off, I've got no option but to assume that this is something everyone will go through. It tends to be a period of doubting the Western tradition or what you're actually doing, that you're actually not doing the right thing, that there is something else you could be doing that is much better and that you are in fact wasting your time. Now, whether or not this is a last ditch attempt by the double to throw you off the scent or not, I'm not sure. But in my case, I believe that perhaps the African traditions had something to offer and that what we had in the West was woefully inadequate compared to this. And Duncan went through a similar experience with Buddhism. The end result of this experience is that you realise there are no secrets, there isn't anything else you should be doing, that you are in fact on the right path. And this leads you to signpost number 4, which is the trance state. Now, in my case, I've recorded these results in the Aim of the Game Magical Revelatory Results in the blog on the website, and this was a series of trance states that, although including the self within those trance states, revealed the illusory nature of reality and the relationship of the self with that reality. Now, how these trance states are actually experienced, the practicalities of that, I think are different with every individual, and it's something that your Holy Guardian Angel will present you with. It will provide all the practicalities of actually experiencing these states, so we need not really concern ourselves with what methods are actually used. It's at this point where you experience yourself as a sham, yourself as an illusion, that there may be a tendency to balk at the idea of progressing any further. It's at this point that it becomes apparent that you are facing the destruction of the self, and traditionally it is here where it will be decided whether you proceed to become a white brother of the right-hand path, or you turn back from the disintegration of the self and become a black brother of the left-hand path. And this is someone that fortifies themselves in a false tower within the abyss, and will resist the disintegration of the self at all costs. So it's pretty obvious this has nothing to do with Tantra or with using sex or with any kind of method of magic, or for that matter, any kind of ethical considerations concerning the intent behind any magical operation. It is simply, if it's not towards the disintegration of the self, then it can be considered black magic. It's quite amusing the number of Satanists that have discarded this kind of approach on the grounds that it's simply mysticism and that the disintegration of the ego should be resisted at all costs. Rather, the ego is something that should be developed, it's something that should be grown, it's something to be proud of. However, this is due to a fundamental misunderstanding of the self below the abyss. Because the self is dualistic, any kind of experience that is not dualistic is mistaken for death. However, once you're actually above the abyss, you discover that the ego doesn't go anywhere. The ego doesn't really disintegrate. This is why it's possible to attain to the greatest mystical heights and still remain an absolute twat. Now, the fourth signpost upon the way is synchronicity. At this point, you'll already have been overwhelmed with synchronicities. Obtaining the knowledge and conversation of your holy guardian angel makes everything in your entire life significant, and you cannot escape meaning. However, you should be encountering experiences or symbols that are concurrent with your development within the Kabbalistic map. Now, my Kabbalah is not your Kabbalah, so you will certainly experience different symbols. However, they will be congruent with my symbols. The biggest confirmation for me regarding actually crossing the abyss came when I scried the 30th ether of the Enochian magical system. The trance was replete with images concurrent with crossing the abyss, such as the City of Pyramids and the Cup of Babylon, and various other experiences that I won't go into here. But straight after this, I came up to signpost number 5, which is the ability to step away from the self. I've read of this result in other accounts of people that claim to have crossed the abyss, and it occurred for me, funnily enough, the day after I scried the 30th ether, hanging out some washing to dry, and I discovered that there was no difference between myself and everything else that I was experiencing, almost as if the self was a function of the universe, and that my consciousness need not identify with that. And it wasn't long after this that I came up to signpost number 6. Now, if there's anything that screamed, you have crossed the abyss, it is this, and it is the confrontation with Coronzon. Now, Coronzon is the denizen of the abyss. He's the embodiment of dispersion. I'll go into detail regarding my actual personal experience with Coronzon in the second part of this podcast, but needless to say, you'll know it when it happens. Signpost number 7 follows closely on the heels of number 6, and that is the declaration of yourself as a master of the temple. Now, this is the grade within the Kabbalistic map obtained after crossing the abyss, and the actual method of declaring yourself a master of the temple will involve the obtaining of a name for yourself as a master of the temple. Now, this name will be given rather than something you will consciously decide, and it will sum up the means or the understanding that you have acquired that allows you to experience the universe from the other side of the abyss. It is therefore something intensely personal. Now, right after the declaration of yourself as a master of the temple, you will experience the crossing of the abyss proper, as in you will be able to observe or experience reality from the other side of the abyss. Just for the record, I achieved this on the 9th of December 2006. Now, at the time, the best metaphor that I could come up with was to consider all thoughts as the letter Y, and that this letter Y could mean anything, and sometimes it'd be more meaningful than at others. You know, sometimes you'd identify with it more than at other times. And the experience of crossing the abyss is a bit like being able to step away from that letter Y and suddenly realizing that the three lines that make it up don't stop. It isn't, in fact, a letter that they carry on. And the further you step back, you realize that it is, in fact, the corner of a cube, and that knowledge or thoughts are an actual object, a fifth dimensional object, and as such they lead nowhere. You understand that everything you can think of, any kind of dualistic experience, essentially leads nowhere. It's an object within itself. Of course, this in no way conveys what the experience is like, and by dint of the fact that I'm using ideas to describe something which is essentially beyond ideas, renders this whole thing nonsensical. But anyway, the greatest upshot of this is signpost number 9, which is where you discover that there is nothing to do, there is nowhere to go, there is nothing to experience. It's not saying that the world is pointless or that your existence is pointless. You suddenly realize that that isn't applicable anymore. The whole idea of having a reason is not applicable to existence. This has massive implications in terms of the idea of sorrow or of suffering, and indeed, true to form, one of the tasks of a master of the temple within this Kabbalistic model is the understanding of sorrow or suffering. I spoke earlier about equivalent attainments with another developmental models, especially those of the East, and we could say that crossing the abyss is the attainment of the full understanding or the full experience of Wu Wei or not doing. It's not something to practice. You just don't do anything anymore in order to progress. This doesn't mean just sitting around. It means that you are finally balanced in the sense that you yearn for nothing or you fear nothing, that there is no need for desire anymore. And my practice at the moment consists simply of sitting down and closing my eyes. Then I actually do nothing. And the trance states that were experienced prior to my completing the crossing of the abyss, I go through those states and then go further, but this is easily ruined by thinking that I'm actually doing something. But it must be stressed that I'm not actually doing anything. I'm not applying any kind of method. The moment I apply a method or exert some kind of desire or will is the moment that I'm below the abyss. One of the often misunderstood things about the grading system within this Kabbalistic model is that it isn't linear. It's not a simple question of going up each grade and attaining a different state of consciousness. The fact that I can now go go above the abyss and experience things which are beyond reason doesn't mean that I cannot go back down again and that I do not act like a normal human being. Although I've equated the attainment of crossing the abyss with the apprehension of Wu Wei in the Taoist system, I think a fundamental flaw in the Western apprehension of the majority of Eastern systems is the idea that there is an enlightenment, that there is somewhere to get to, and that's the end result. And that once you're enlightened, that's it, you will never act the way you did before. And one of the flaws of many developmental approaches is the idea that you must attain to a specific trance state that you've not experienced before in order for you to progress. And this isn't necessary. Revelation happens on all levels of the human being. The idea that there exists states of mind somewhere out there that your consciousness can visit, that you can practice, and that that is where the truth is, it's absolutely absurd. Truth isn't any idea or any place or anything. Truth is in the experience. Revelation is in the experience, not the ideas used to describe that experience. As such, it's an ongoing process. And in fact, one of the beauties of the Western system, and by this I don't mean psychotherapy, I mean actually performing a magical ritual and contacting your holy guardian angel, is that no matter what you might consciously decide to be the best course of action, the best way to progress, it isn't actually possible for you as a person to consciously know what is necessary for revelation. The very fact that it's revelation means you cannot know what it is. And this is where working with the holy guardian angel comes into its own, as the angel isn't bound by ideas in the same way that the self is. So to sum up then, if you want to cross the abyss, you need to do one thing, and that is gain the knowledge and conversation of your holy guardian angel. And it's very, very simple, as outlined earlier. And then there are 9 signposts. Number 1 is the withdrawal of the angel. Number 2 is an encounter with the double. Number 3 is affirmation. Number 4 is a series of trance states. Number 5 is the ability to step away from the self. Number 6 is the confrontation with Coronzon. Number 7 is the declaration of yourself as a master of the temple. Number 8 is the experience of crossing the abyss proper, or the fifth dimensional object, as I've called it. And number 9 is the ability to practice the non-rational, or as the Taoists would say, Wu Wei. I cannot claim that this is a definitive list of experiences that someone will go through when crossing the abyss, or that every person will go through every single one of these experiences. However, the idea of this podcast is to function as a signpost. When I first began doing this, there was a distinct lack of material that I could refer to indicate where I was up to or where I might be going. But hopefully this will help those that may find themselves going through a similar process.